So interesting, says a text from Liz. I felt very strongly that this massive remembrance has been, will be more about the warm and fuzzy feelings currently very fashionable rather than practically supportive, which is needed. Joe says, I've been uncomfortable with all the media focus on the terror attack a year ago. Surely it does no good for the people affected and creates further drama for the perpetrator to relish. So I agree with Dr. Salama, we should just remember the loved ones lost rather than officially mark the day. Several others to that effect, actually, and here's one not on that subject. It says, why is it? Must have been Brian Walsh. I referred to far-right governments being quite happy with the need to stop border crossing as a result of the coronavirus for other political reasons. Why is it, says Fred, that you, plus many in the Fourth Estate business, have a distinct predilection to utilise the term the far right as some sort of panacea? Perhaps more discernment may be appropriate. I don't think that's what you mean, though, Fred, is it? Interesting text from Mark. Says the 2019 mosque shootings engendered an outpouring of expressions of support and solidarity with the Muslim community. Our national discourse was one of inclusivity and celebration of diversity. Some of those expressions of support came from members of the queer community. The weekend after the shootings, I was at a gathering of gay men who observed the minute silence broadcast on national radio in solidarity with the victims. My question now is this: in a country that respects and celebrates diversity, will the Muslim community extend the same support to their queer country people? Somebody else says, so tired of hearing about 15th of March. Is there nothing else to talk about? Many other tragedies that get little mention. Really, can you think of a tragedy of that kind of enormous implication? Let me know. I got a text from someone who said, I'm refusing to listen to this interview because Cromwell destroyed my ancestral castle, Carrigafoyle, and he's nothing but a criminal. So I feel obliged to break the news to you that it wasn't that Cromwell we were talking about. We were talking about Thomas Cromwell, and you're talking about Oliver Cromwell. And Oliver Cromwell was the great-grandson of Thomas Cromwell's nephew, Richard. Very glad to have sorted that out. Somebody else says, my husband, having listened to the interview about COVID-19, went to the supermarket and brought back 10 kilos of rice and 10 kilos of pasta and 10 kilos of tomatoes. Look, it's my ambition to make a difference, no matter however small, to people's lives. And I feel that with this morning's programme, I've accomplished this, and I hope that you enjoy what sounds like an incredibly monotonous diet for weeks and months to come. Oh, lots and lots of love for Patrick, except this one, which says, Patrick had me until he started quoting Martin McGuinness. Perhaps you need to spend a little time with Patrick and he would work a little magic on you and stop you from being so closed.